How's everybody doing this morning? Say Jesus.
Jesus.
Why don't you give the person next to you a handshake or a kiss if you know him real well? Y'all sound wonderful. Now, how old are you? What school you go to? Wow. Good morning. How many people are here for the first time? Welcome. We hope you have a good time today. Before I start, let me have one quick announcement. Last year on Easter, we were at the Cox Arena, San Diego State University. We had one service, and we had 12,000 people in the arena, and 2,000 were across the street. So we had people fighting with security, dropping four-letter word, curse words on them, trying to get in church. Which I think is a good thing. If you're cursing to try to get in church, I guess it's a good and bad thing that you want to get in and you need to get in. but it was a reality. We had people get restrained by security and the police. They were so upset because they couldn't get in. And so they had to go across the street. This year, we're going to be here, obviously. And this service, you know, if there's, 2,000, 2,500 people here now, it could easily be 5,000 people at this service. And so we don't want to create a problem, so we're going to ask you, especially y'all who are solid in the Lord, you know, you're not going to, your world's not going to get rocked if you can't sit in your seat at the right time that you want to sit there. And if you're a little more mature than that, which I'm sure most of you are, that you would either come early in the morning, 6 o'clock, we're going to have a sunrise service at 6. Amen. How many of y'all are interested in the sunrise service? Old school. Go old school with us. Very good. Come at 6 o'clock. I know the ones going, who are the ones going, yeah, go ahead. I ain't going. But I got up this morning at 5:45, and I'm thinking, man, I'm going to be at church at this time in 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks now, not next week, 2 weeks. So come to the 6 o'clock or go to the alternate site. It's right on this property over by Harbor, just a couple blocks this way. It's not hard to find. We have there's a chapel over there that Harper, actually the people who built this for us, they built that for the Navy 10 years ago or so, and we're going to have 1,200 people or so over there. It's going to be all cool. It's going to be great. Our technical people do a great job. And so go over there or come here early so we can have seats here for the what we call Christers, the people who come to Christmas and Easter, okay? So we want to make room for the Christers, okay? So, you know, it's all about, you know, the salvation. Jesus died and denied himself. So you do the same thing by making room for a seat. It's not that big a deal. It really isn't. If you got to go to church over there or you got to wake up early in the morning, it's not that big a deal. Amen? So consider doing that on Easter. We appreciate it. Okay? Let's see your Bibles this morning. One more time, say it real loud. Word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Very good. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 25, first book in the New Testament, Matthew 25. Everyone say Matthew. Say Matthew. Matthew 25. And let me pray for you while you turn. You don't have to close your eyes. I didn't know I could pray with my eyes open. You can. Matter of fact, you might try praying walking around. How many of y'all learn by moving? Okay, I'm a kinesthetic person. I like to move around. You know what? Some of y'all have kids that have to move around. Let them move. Okay? And when I pray a sermon, sometimes I'll walk around like this. I got to feel it. I go in the field behind my house. People think I'm on drugs, and I'll be just. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness, and I pray you bless us. I pray you challenge us, and I pray, Lord, that you would stir us up, that we would do something. In Jesus' name, everyone said?
Amen.
I have to tell you something that my wife did the other day. And for all you ladies, I have permission from my wife to say this, okay? Permission. I asked permission. I didn't tell her. I said, can I please tell the story? She said, okay, if you have to. You know, I came home, 3 or 4 weeks ago after a long day ministering, fighting demons. I was covered with demon blood, you know, getting criticized and beat down and, you know, just a long day of hard work. And I'm looking for a nice dinner. You know what I'm saying? I make myself breakfast every day, 7 days a week. And my wife, she makes the dinner. And so I'm coming home looking for this meal, sit down at the table, kind of wiping, you know, the satanic goo off me. And she says, dinner's ready. and we're having tuna casserole. I like tuna casserole, but there's a catch. She forgot to put in the tuna. So I got to have a plate of noodles. It's like, I'll eat the noodles. You know, then I had a bowl of cereal after that because, you know, the noodles just wasn't doing it for a brother. But there's nothing like tuna casserole without the tuna. You got to have the tuna, amen? As a Christian, you cannot be a fulfilled, committed Christian without doing something. You can't. If you are the kind of Christian that just goes to church and minds your business, you need to check yourself. And I'm going to challenge you today that you need to ask yourself, are you really saved? Woo! Think about it. You told God one day, I am a sinner, I'm going to hell, I am good for nothing. Please forgive me of all my sin. And this is what you meant when you prayed, by the way. I'm good for nothing for the kingdom of God. I may be helping people on the earth, but I'm not good for the kingdom of God. Please forgive me of my sin. I completely surrender my life to you. Do with me what you want. Now, because God does not have multiple personalities, and I'm not trying to be funny, he does not have multiple personalities. He knows who he is. He says, I am that I am. I am who I am. There is no doubt of who I am and what my mission is. And so if you gave your life to Christ, he instantly enlisted you into his army. Now, we are in week 3 of a campaign called Do Something, and when you came in here, you got one of these cards. You got to do something, an army card, black card. Everyone get a black card? Everyone say, why does it got to be black? It just is. We're in week 3 of a 4-week series called Do Something. In the Do Something campaign, there's something that we do. We're going to get to that in a minute. And there's something that God does. What God does is that he's the one who transforms lives. What we do is we join the army here at The Rock anyway. We join the army. Army spelled A-R-M-Y. Can you spell it with me? Say
A-R-M-Y.
Look how smart you are. You're reading off the board. Say, spell it again.
A-R-M-Y.
Very good. And let's read it backwards.
Y-M-R-A.
Very good. When you join the army, what you're saying is that I am going to commit to 4 things if I'm going to be part of what The Rock is about. Now, it doesn't mean you can't come here, but you're just not what we're about. You're just here as a fan. We don't want you to be a fan. We want you to be a disciple. And so here, we're going to do 4 things. One, be in an accountability relationship. That's the A. Say accountability. We talked about that 2 weeks ago, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego sermon. You need to get it, Daniel chapter 3, how each one of those 3 guys were committed to each other. And in that accountability relationship, you and that person will register on our website as part of our army. Why? Because we want to know who you are. And you're going to ask each other these 12 questions as often as you can, every week. And there's 3 questions per letter. A, we have 3 questions. Last week, we talked about living an evangelistic lifestyle. When Jesus called Matthew, the tax collector, to follow him, the first thing they did, went over to Matthew's house and had a party with Matthew's sinner friends. So we talked about living an evangelistic lifestyle. Get the sermon. In a few weeks, we'll have the DVD for you. You can watch it. This week, we're going to talk about M. Say ministry. Say ministry. The M is all about being in ministry and service. Now, if you look behind me, you're going to see 2 lines of people. There's one line that goes up to heaven, this line on your left. The Bible says the people who go into heaven, that line is, that entrance is very narrow and very few go that way. If you're saved, you're on this line. To your right, there's a group of people. It seems like a bigger crowd. Why? Because there is. The road to destruction is very wide, and many go that way. When Jesus came, he came for one reason, to die and pay for the price for those sins, their sins, so they can get them from the hell line over to the heaven line. Our job as Christians is to partner with him in that so we can get as many people from the hell line over to the heaven line. Now, if we work together, we could do that very efficiently, as you see what's happening behind me now. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's a heavy mover. Let's give it, say Jesus. Let's give him a hand. Let's give him a hand. That's what I'm talking about. See, those are 2 very creative, ingenious people who just took a truckload of people from heaven, hell, over to heaven. Now, Jesus says, I came to seek and save the lost. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. Jesus died for those people so they can become these people. Now, if you're in this line, if you're in the heaven line, and you're not doing anything about the people in the hell line, you are being very selfish. Everyone say selfish.
Selfish.
Unbiblical, say unbiblical.
Selfish.
Say a sinful, say sinful.
Selfish.
Now, that may offend you. You need to be offended because Jesus is offended at you. Jesus did not. There is nowhere in the Bible says that God forgave you so you can relax in the heaven line. That's not in the Bible. That's not in the Bible. That may be in your head. It may be from your old church or maybe the church you go to, you're visiting today. It may be from your Christian culture understanding, but that's not in the Bible. What Christ says, I have come to give you the ministry of reconciliation and the message of reconciliation so we can go get those people, and I am pleading with the world through you. And if you're over here doing nothing, you are muzzling him. That's wrong. So when we talk about getting involved in ministry, it's not something we made up. It's something that's in the Bible. And by the way, I'm not trying to use the Bible to manipulate you, because if I was going to manipulate you, I wouldn't say manipulate. I would say something else. Okay? So I'm not trying to manipulate you. I am trying to use the Bible to get you to do what you're supposed to do. Okay? Now, when you hear the sermon today, you may think that I'm going to tell you if you don't do this, you're going to go to hell, because there's hell in this passage. Okay? I'm not going to tell you that. But what I'm going to tell you is that if you don't do this, you may be a candidate to go to hell based on what Jesus says. You could take that any way you want. I hope it fires you up. Okay? Ladies, give me this. You know what this is. Let's do it for the new ladies who are just new. Let's do it together. Us girls. Just girls. Ready? Here we go. Take a deep breath in. Give it to me. Now, you have to understand, ladies, I don't know if you noticed, but I need to teach you how to do this right, okay? It's not, it's just, just real quick, just a little swat. Okay, let's do it again. Here we go. Give it to me. That's what I'm talking about. Evil. Now, the book of Matthew, you ever say Matthew? Matthew is kind of divided up into five sermons that Jesus gave. And after every sermon, it says when these things were finished or when he finished saying this, whatever, however they word it, depending on your version of the Bible. The first sermon, if you will, Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 to 7. And all these sermons, by the way, are about the kingdom. The Sermon on the Mount was about kingdom ethics. Chapter 10 is about kingdom warfare. Chapter 13 is about kingdom parables. Chapter 18 and 19 is kingdom discipleship. And we're in chapters 25, but chapters 24 and 25 is about the kingdom to come. In other words, Jesus, tell us about when you're going to come back. Give us the signs. And in this passage, or in this section of the Bible where Jesus talks about the new world and the second coming in heaven, he describes the people that are going to be in heaven. And he describes them as the people who are going to be in heaven are going to be seated at his right hand, and the people in hell are going to be on his left hand. How many of y'all want to be the people who are going to be in heaven on the right hand? Raise your hand. Okay. How many of y'all want to go to hell? Because you could save time. You could just leave right now. You don't need to wait, because I'm not going to tell you how to go to hell. I'm going to tell you how not to go to hell. Okay? Now, this is Jesus saying, when I go to heaven, I'm going to gather everybody before me, and there's going to be some on my right. I'm going to tell you what they are. And there's going to be some on my left. I'm going to tell you what they are. I'm not trying to manipulate you. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Absolutely trying to get you and motivate you to do what you're supposed to do. That's not manipulation, because I'm being upfront with you. Amen? Okay. Let's read. Chapter 25, verse 31. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. Everyone say glory. Glory. How many of you, ladies, how many of y'all have a ring, a diamond ring? Raise your hand. A diamond anything. Okay, you got bling. How many of y'all want one? More than don't have one, okay? When you get your diamond, if you have to do this, you need to ask him to go back to the stove. If you have a diamond that has a high bling factor, you're going to have to do this. Why? Because the light is going to be blaring in your face. Okay. Now, what you have to understand about diamonds is that diamonds reflect light. If you take a diamond in a dark room, you can't see it. It needs light from the outside, because what it does, it gathers light and then it reflects it back. A diamond doesn't have its own glory. You and I are diamonds. We can only reflect God's glory back to him. We have no glory on our own. You see, deceived people, and even ministers like myself, not hopefully not me, but ministers like myself, who think it's them. I have no glory on my own. I have nothing good in me. I'm a sinner to the bone, worst of sinners. But my job is if I surrender enough of myself to Christ, he will reflect himself back to himself, and you'll see that, and you'll think it's me. Oh, Pastor, thank you, but it's really him. It's really him. And so you and I have no glory of our own. Christ is the one with the glory. That's just a little nugget for free. It really doesn't have anything to do with the sermon. Verse 32, keep going. Before him will be gathered all the nations. He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Everyone say sheep.
Sheep.
Say goats. And he will place the sheep on his right hand. Say goat. Say right hand. And the goats on his left. Say left. And the king will say to those on the right, these are the people going to heaven. Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven. Raise your hand if you don't care. Thank you very much. So I assume, oh, she just doesn't understand. I know, it's a little girl. He says to those on his right hand, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Do you know that God is preparing something for you from the foundation of the world? We built this building in 20 months, and we're a man. God could have built this in that quick. He's been preparing something for you since the foundation of the earth. You know how bad that must look? I'll stop right there because I don't even know how. But he says, look what he says about those people. How many of y'all want to be the people on the right hand? Raise your hand.
I just raised my hand three times.
How many of y'all were thinking that? Raise your hand again. Verse 35. Hear the people on the right hand. I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Look what it says. The people on his right hand, they fed people. They clothed people. They visited people. They prayed for people. You know what it doesn't say? I built a church, and you went. You read your Bible. You prayed. It doesn't say that. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but that is a means to an end. The reason you go to church, at least you should, is because God commanded, but the reason you go to church is to be equipped to get people from that line going to hell to that line going to heaven. You have to understand this. This is not my opinion. You may have thought in your mind, well, I get saved and I go to church. You need to read what the Bible says, not what you thought or what someone told you. You are here to get equipped, motivated, inspired, what have you, so you can help those people going to hell to come over here to this line. Now you may say, well, I'm in church to get discipled. Yes, so you can get those people from that line to that line. I'm in the church to get encouraged. Yes, so you can get those people from that line to that line. That's why. Some of you think, well, I came to church because I just want to be blessed, because I just want to be happier. Just because. Well, how self-centered is that? It's all about me being better. Where does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't. It's part of it. And by the way, in order for God to equip you to be better at getting people from that line, he's got to make you holy. And in order for God to make you holy, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. Why? Because you don't want to let go of your sin. We do not want to let go of our sin. How do we know that? Because if anyone ever tried to correct you, the first thing you do is get defensive. I'm not wrong. Oh. Oh. It's just human nature. Okay? He says, listen, I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was naked, you clothed me. I was sick and in prison, you came to me. Those are the people. Look at your notes. Ministry to the least of these provides help in everyday needs. You want to do ministry? Provide help in some simple, basic stuff. Food, clothes, water, shelter, a kind word, a thank you, a please, a sorry. Let me open the door for you. Let me carry your bags for you. Do something basic, at least. Let me read some ministries to you that we have here at the church. We got a whole lot of them. You saw them coming in. Hopefully you're going to visit them when you go out. Adult entertainment, JC's Girls. These are women who go to strip clubs, and they minister to women in strip clubs, in the clubs. This is a girls, women's only ministry. They go into strip clubs, and one woman got saved. She's not stripping anymore. She actually designed these pink cards that we sell in our bookstore. And we also sell pink Bibles. She didn't do this, but we sell pink Bibles. And if you buy a pink Bible, the church donates a pink Bible to this ministry so they can take it to the women in the strip club. We also have convalescent ministry. We have people who go to convalescent ministries every single day and minister to people in convalescent home. The people in the convalescent home, we have to understand, they weren't always old. They were young like you. They had lives, they had families, they had jobs, they had careers, they had dreams, and they got old, which if you live long enough, you will too. And sometimes their family dies off and they're the only ones left. Sometimes their family, all different reasons, but they're in a convalescent home and some of them are alone, some of them are not, but they're sitting there and, you know, people forget old people and we have people who go in and minister to them, pray with them, encourage them, play games, and lead them to the Lord. During the fires, we had 122 elderly people between the age of 67 and 92 stay here. It was such a beautiful time. They ended up having a party for us. We went over to them. They sang for us. I sat at a table with eight women. They probably were about the age of 117 to 125. I am not lying. These women, they were so little and so sweet. And I don't know how old they were because I didn't ask, but they were old. And this one lady says, these ladies didn't come to stay here. We just had 122 of the whole facility. And they, are you the pastor of the church? I said, yes. I'm going to come to your church. I heard about the music. I was like, hey. You can go minister to them. Why not? Foster youth. Follow the noise. There's kids in San Diego who don't have families. They're in foster homes. They don't have their biological family. They're in foster homes. They've been through hell, some of them. Two of them were kidnapped and forced into prostitution, and we got them back. Right here. Matter of fact, they were being held. Amen. Amen. They were being held, sold on Craigslist, and being held in a hotel right here in Point Loma. You drive right by it every time you come here, right down the street, within 1 mile of this building. You want to minister to one of those kids? Let's go. Matter of fact, we have a couple here that adopted a kid from the social services. He had a heart transplant. You understand? They took his heart out. He got sick after they adopted him, and they put in a whole new heart in his body. He's doing well. But that you're talking about saving someone's life. That's what that ministry, you go outside, step up ministry. Everyone say step up. Homeless Bread of Life ministry. 6 days a week, they are feeding and ministering to homeless people in San Diego. 6 days a week, 10,000 people homeless in San Diego. 6 days a week, 6 days a week. When you go home today and you go in your house, stop. Stop yourself and ask yourself, where would I go if I didn't have this house? 6 days a week, they go minister to these people, and why aren't they doing it 7? Because you're not involved. The reason they don't do it 7 days is because on the 7th day, they bring them to church. That's why they don't do it on the 7th. That's what they do on the 7th day. They bring them to church. It's a 7-day operation, and this couple leads it, but the woman who's really the spearhead, she has them, her and her husband have them stay at their house. They have people come into their house. Military ministry, you saw that online. I mean, on the Rock TV, a deaf foster home. A lady from this church started a deaf foster home. We have the only deaf foster home in Southern California from this church. In all of Southern California, we have the only deaf foster home. You want to go help them. Now, what can you do? You could take them on trips. You can go fix stuff at the house, repair stuff. You can go cook for them. Do anything. Do anything. These are kids who are in a foster home. They don't have their parents and they're deaf. Go minister to them. Disabilities ministry, love them up. Go minister to the people with disability. Mexican ministry, Mexican missions in Mexico. Prison ministry. How many of y'all have never been to a prison before, whether legally or illegally? I can't encourage you enough to go at least one time. Ladies go to prison. Fellas, I ain't going to prison. My secretary goes. Oh, the ladies can go, but you can't go. And they go, and my secretary is only this big. She goes and jams those inmates up on a regular basis. Bringing the word. When you guys are going to, when I first got saved, I went to 5 prisons in 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. First prison was Terminal Island in L.A., went to Chino, went to Norco Women's Facility, went to Tehachapi, and we went to Lompoc in 3 days. I was a young Christian. I was scared to death each time. It was one of the greatest things in my life. Greatest things in my life to go into prison. When you hear clankety clank behind you, oh, you'll be praying. Rock Recovery, ministry to people with addictions. Human trafficking. Human trafficking. We got people who go on the street and minister to prostitutes. The women who do that need men to be there with them because the pimp is there often somewhere close. We need guys to go out there and partner with them. TJ House Building. They build houses in TJ. We've been building houses down there ever since we started this church. I don't even know how many. We have evangelism ministry, people just straight up going out and doing preaching the gospel, arts and performing arts ministry out there, doing a ministry in the arts community, home repair. If you home repair people, and join that ministry only if you're good at home repair. I know it's funny, but please, please do not do this unless you're really good. Because what's going to happen is you're going to go out there and fix something. It's not going to be fixed, and they're going to get mad at God, and they're going to get mad at the church, and they're going to call us and say, someone from your church came and broke, and you owe me money. And those Christians never do. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't think you're doing someone a favor. Only if you could do a good job. We have people come here and give us stuff all the time. And sometimes what they give us is straight up junk. And they don't think we're appreciative because we won't take their junk. We don't want your junk. God don't want your junk. God says, present your body a living sacrifice. Your physical body a living sacrifice. Give God your best. Don't give God your junk. Okay. Matter of fact, when they sacrificed animals, they had to give the best animal, not the one with eczema and psoriasis and lice. You know, you bring your little sheep, and he's walking all like, you know, he's from the hood. Oh, what's up? And that's the one you're gonna give away. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me. I'm sorry. Hip hop ministry. If you can do this, go to the hip hop ministry. Okay, mime. They go down to many places. They go, but the mime ministry goes down to an orphanage, Gabriel House, in I believe it's in Ensenada, but it's in Mexico for severely deformed kids. You want your heart break? You want to appreciate the fact that you can smile, see, walk straight, that you have a face that people don't turn their head because they can't look at you? You want to appreciate that? These are kids with severe, severe deformities. Go down there. Pray for them. Just smile. Just smile. Because I've seen some of the pictures and their face is so deformed. Needlework. How many of y'all do needlework? You crochet and knit. There's a ministry for that. You could actually go to the convalescent. I mean, you could do it for anybody, but they have a ministry. They actually go to convalescent home and bring stuff and do needlework, and they just sit around and go, it don't matter. Hey, you feel froggy, go ahead and jump. Recycling ministry, 18 to 25. We got a ministry to 18 and 25-year-olds. We got altar call. We got care and concern. If you care or you're concerned about somebody, we help you minister and counsel to people. Children's Pebbles in the house, Pebbles in the house. Hey, how many of y'all got little kids in Pebbles? Guess what? They're over there. They're not babysitting your kids. They're teaching about Jesus. And little kids come out of Pebbles, mommy, 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 we got to pray. Mommy, mommy, guess what I learned about Jesus? That's what they're doing. Go minister to those kids. Hospitality ministry. Hospitalize somebody. How many of y'all just love to encourage people? You need to go to that ministry. You cannot be in that ministry and not be an encourager. Oh, we got to help these people today. You ever go to like a store or, you know, the airline, and here's someone supposed to be serving you and they got attitude? They need to get a new job. You need to be like, hey, how you doing? So what do you want? My ticket? You want to jump? You know, it's just like, you're in the wrong career. You need to go into fighting. Thus, the next ministry, marriage mentors. One half of the people who get married in the church get a divorce. It shouldn't be that way. Some of y'all have a solid marriage. You know how much fun it would be to sit with somebody 25 and 24 who think they're getting married and just to talk with them, go out to lunch, dinner? You have any idea how fun that would be? And to have them look at you and go, wow, we didn't know that. Wow, thank you. We're going to change this. We're not going to live together anymore until we get married. Maybe we're not supposed to get married. And by the way, if you're young, you want to know that. Now, for real, sometimes you don't want to know the truth. You just want to do what you want to do. It never works out. The pain of a broken marriage, I can't even say I know because I never had a broken marriage, but I can tell you I had broken relationships. You do not want that. You do not want that. But some of y'all who are married, man, what a life-changing experience you can give somebody. I was talking to a couple the other day. I said, you guys don't even know what love is yet. The guy got offended. I said, don't be offended. Just realize you don't. You're only 19 years old. You are clueless. You have puppy love. You have no clue what love is about. I mean, you may have a 19-year-old version of a super crush on steroids. But there are levels that you're going to go through. And we ain't even touching the love you're going to have when you have a baby. You are clueless to that. And you can't know that until it happens. We need couples to help these people in our church. Men's ministry, going out doing ministry with the men and learning and growing with men. Mom's ministry, parking ministry. How many of y'all always wanted to do this to a car? Can I get an amen? And with a yellow vest. And if you're good, they'll give you a light. Photography ministry, we've been chronologicalizing or taking pictures of this ministry ever since day one of pictures. Prayer ministry, fighting the battles in the heavenlies every day. Production and creativity, give the people a hand who do all the production here. We need production ministry. Rock Academy, Rock You, Rock Rock Pile, go work in a Rock Pile. Security in the house, every single week. I'm here 5 services a day. Every single week, there are people who walk through those doors intending my hurt or our disruption every single week. So we got to have security ministry. Please be accommodating to them when they ask you to search the bag that we ask you not to bring in here, backpacks. Single parent, small groups. Lead a small group, host a small group. How many of y'all are not in small groups? How many of y'all are not? Raise your hand real high. Guess what? That's part of the Rock Army, getting a small group. Accountability. Women's ministry. Sisters in Christ. Get involved in the women's ministry. Worship team. If you think you can sing, we will find out. Join up. Youth ministry. High school, junior high. How many of y'all went in high school, junior high one time? Sports ministries. Let me read them off to you real quick. 4x4, basketball, boxing, fitness, football, golf, martial arts. If you want to beat somebody up, do it in the name of the Lord. Mountain bike, rock climbing, runners ministry, sailing ministry, skateboard ministry, soccer ministry, softball ministry, surf ministry, volleyball ministry. I'll say two things about the sports ministries. One, when you play sports, you want to, and this is just me talking, it's not from the Bible, but I kind of twist it around so it means something to me from the Bible, that when you play, you have to win. Jesus says we're victors in Christ. That means we're supposed to win every game. And the worse you beat them, the more credibility you have as a Christian. That's just my own theology. It's not real biblical, but it's just me. Why? So when you win, you say, hey, can I talk to you about Christ? And you just beat them down like, yeah, I think, oh, yeah, I'll see you. As a matter of fact, if you come to our church, then you can be on our team, and next time you can be on a winning team. This is how I think. But on the real, how many of y'all sail? How many of you know how to sail? Okay? I don't know anything about it. You know how to sail? You need to do the whole thing, skip the thing. Okay, I have no idea how to sail. But let's say I was 16 years old. And I'm being mentored by someone in the church through Step Up Ministry. I'm a foster child in San Diego. And my mentor says, hey, you want to go sailing? I said, I've never been sailing. Well, guess what? I know someone who sails. Goes to my church. They let us out in their boat. Yeah, we're going on the boat. I'm 16, never been on the water. I come there, my pants all sagging down, my hat. I'm going on sailing, have no clue about the wind. I go out there, and I'm on this boat like this. And we haven't even left the, the house yet. I get in the boat, and you're doing all the things with the ropes and the sailboat, and I'm tripping. I learn how to sail. Guess what you have done? You have made it one step easier for me to leave that line going to hell to this line. You just ministered to me. Why? You let me on your boat. You taught me something I didn't know. You were friends with me. You prayed for me maybe after. Gave me some food. It's that simple. And so ministries start to cross-pollinate and work with each other. It's that simple. That's what we're talking about. Why? So those people don't go to hell. Because some of y'all have friends who are going to hell. Shame on you. Shame on you if you don't do anything about it. If you do nothing about it. Because Jesus died for them as much as he died for you. And you got saved first, and he wants to send you over to them. You saw August on the cover of Lawyer Magazine. Now, August does work here. And there's a verse in the Bible. It says that God has chosen the foolish to confound the wise. Am I calling August foolish? Yes. Think about it. He's a gang member. He doesn't have a law degree. He's on the cover of Lawyer Magazine. How many lawyers do you think are saying, I want to be on the cover of Lawyer Magazine, and I went to law school, and I have a firm. How did this brother get on the cover of magazine? God, I don't even know why. I still don't even know why he's on the cover of this magazine. I mean, I don't know why a lawyer magazine. I guess because of, you know, the prison ministry or whatever. And but if you open it up, it says, from gang lord to yes lord. Amen. Why am I showing you this? It's because when you walk with God and you do what God tells you to do, God puts you where he wants you to be. But if you think I'm just going to get saved and sit here, come on, God, just send me the blessings. Uh-uh. Stop. That is a child. That's what children do. Gimme, gimme, gimme. God's like, let's go to work. Let's go to work. And all those people over there, all those people over there are looking for Jesus. They don't know it. We're going to do some stuff in this year. We're going to have some events down at nightclubs downtown. Oh, yeah. And we go to the nightclubs and say, listen, can you think we can rent y'all out and rent your building out? They said, of course. I go to The Rock. The manager. Do-do-do-do. What? And we're going to put the word out on the street. You can only know about this underground. We're not going to tell you. And we're going to put the word on the street. Why? Because we want to get those people. And it's going to be the bomb. Oh, yeah, it's going to be the bomb. But we need an army. So here's my challenge to you. I'm going to pray for you. Oh, let me read the Bible and the notes. Got a little excited. Number one, provides help in everyday needs. We did that one already, right? Number two, does not require recognition. In other words, when you help the least of these, you're not like, okay, look at me, look at me, look at me. If you got someone talking about look at me, Look what it says in verse 37. The righteous will answer and say, Lord, when do we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When do we see you a stranger and welcome you and naked and clothe you? When do we see you sick and in prison and visit you? And the king will say, truly, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. They said, God, we didn't know we were doing it to you. We weren't looking for credit. We were just doing it. He said, that's what I'm talking about. Every time you did it to me. Number three in your notes, ministering to the least of these is always acknowledged and honored by God. God will always give you the credit and recognition that he knows you need according to his timing and manner. Number four in your notes, ministering to the least of these always brings eternal blessings. The eternal blessing is heaven. It's joy. It's rivers of living water will flow through your heart. You will find you will have the greatest smile in your heart you ever had. But let me keep reading. Let's keep reading. Verse 41. He will say to those on his left, everyone say left. Yes. Say left. Yes. Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels. God did not prepare hell for you. Prepare it for the devil. You do not want to go to a place that is designed to punish the devil. You are not that wicked, but you will suffer with that pain. Verse 42, I was hungry, you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you didn't visit me. Verse 44, they will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and we did not minister to you? He will answer, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. and these will go away into everlasting punishment, and the righteous into everlasting life. Now, what am I saying to you? That Jesus is going to set the righteous on his right, and what is common amongst all those people is that they minister to people. He will set the unrighteous on the left, and what's common to those, they didn't minister to people. Now, you can take that for whatever it's worth, but I am taking no risk with my life to be on his left because I'm trying to be comfortable. But let me tell you this, whether you feel compelled or not, when you do what God has called you to do, you will be most satisfied. Don't think that, nah, in my case, I'm going to be most comfortable if I don't do anything. Don't think that that could ever be true of any human, because God created you for one reason, and he's the only one that can fulfill that reason. And it's all laid out in the Bible. You are not that unique or special. Just as he served, we are to serve. So what we're trying to get you to do, and I'm not trying to manipulate you, I'm trying to motivate you to do what you're supposed to do and tell you what the Bible says about it. Once you get a taste of using your gifts the way God has called you to use it, oh, you won't be able to go back. You know when you get high and drunk? I'm not going to ask how many of y'all have been high or drunk before, but why don't we? Wow, big old druggies up in the house. Turn this into an AA meeting right now. You know why you did it? Well, there's many reasons why you did it, but what you felt, this wow, this life plus, the reason you were able to experience a life plus feeling was not because of the drug. What drugs do is go in your veins, they go to your brain, and they tell your brain to do what it always could do in excess. The euphoric feeling you feel when you are high is from the drugs you already have. It's not from the heroin, it's not from the marijuana. What those drugs do is tell your brain to release chemicals you already have, dopamine and epinephrine, etc. And so when you feel high, you're feeling high from something you already have in your brain as you sit here now. Now, what is the relevance? The relevance is that God gave you that ability to feel really good. He just doesn't have to use drugs to do it. And so matter of fact, if you ever use hallucinogens where you see stuff and hear stuff that aren't there, the reason you're seeing stuff and hearing stuff that aren't there is those are the same drugs that give you dreams. The only thing is that you see it and feel it when you sleep. But when you take the drugs, you see and hear those things when you're awake. It's the only difference. This is kind of trippy, ain't it? Yeah. You see people walking around going, talking to people that aren't there, it's because their brain is showing them something. Just like when you're dreaming, your brain shows you something. Same drugs. My point is this, is that God gave you the ability to have this life plus experience, and the way he wants you to experience it is by walking with him. Let's pray. Lord, I pray all these people go to the fair, and I pray they find exactly what you want them to do. I pray they are persistent in looking for it, and I pray it blows their mind as I know you always do. And I pray as a result, we would transform this city, county, and world. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's a ministry that's out there, that's not out there that you want to do, go. We have a way for you to start one. So go out there with your ideas. God bless you.